Let's first talk about the executive. Interestingly enough, there's no direct provision for an executive. A lot of people ask the question, well, where's the president? Where's this source of executive power in the Articles of Confederation? Well, there's no direct provision. Now, the Continental Congress is authorized to establish an executive committee. The Continental Congress is also empowered to appoint one of its own as kind of the presiding officer, which is very much an executive function, a presiding officer. So you have in the Continental Congress from the beginning, and under the Articles of Confederation, an office we call President of the Continental Congress. And as I mentioned, I believe that we should consider those people as legitimate presidents of the United States. But I'm in a minority of one, as far as I can tell. I have a picture of Henry Lawrence in my office, and I hold him in high esteem. Man for all seasons. And you thought Thomas More was a man for all seasons, but it's really Henry Lawrence. Anyway, so there is a kind of president. The only problem is that from time to time, the Continental Congress would give two or three people the power to preside. And then it became accepted a kind of formal committee structure, and so the president of each committee was kind of thought of as part of the executive. So at one time, under the Articles of Confederation, there were like 99 people who had executive status. Now you talk about confusion, that's pretty doggone confusion. We have a problem with one president in the 21st century. Think if you had sort of 99 executives. All these people obviously did not have a lot of authority, but there were, it became somewhat confusing. To remedy the problem of 99 executives, they set up permanent committees, as most legislatures do in 1781. So it looks a little bit like a parliamentary system, but not really, because there is no real executive. Okay, how about the judiciary? One of the weakest features of the Articles of Confederation was the lack of a federal or national judiciary. Under the Articles of Confederation, there's only four instances that the judiciary could be active. Only four cases that this judiciary of sorts could become involved. The first instance in which this judiciary could become involved was if there were disputes between or among states. That's the main reason this judiciary could operate. And you can imagine, when states are given so much authority,